What about your club, Stirler? I mean, Manly's getting all the attention, but your club, you've bought Anthony Watmo, you've got Kieran Foran, it's the Parramatta Seagulls.
Yeah, Brett Stewart next week. look, you know, I don't know. I was listening to Gerds, and he's exactly right. As we said last night, he's an investment in the future. He's a fantastic player. He's a great bloke. He's a winner. He's already captained his country. So, you know, if you're a Parramatta fan, as I am, you're very excited about the future.
If the money is correct, and often these things aren't, but if 4.7 for 4 years is roughly around the mark, that's what, 1.2, nearly 1.2 a year, that is a big chunk out of a salary cap. Is he worth you're basically banking your future on this man.
Yeah, and he's one bloke that you would do that for. I rate him that highly. He's still young. His best football is still in front of him. And when you consider what he's already achieved, then, you know, that's a nice prospect. And there are good people around him there already. You know, there'll need to be some decisions made. But there's some good young players that are coming through. And, you know, they're going to want some money down the track after they've more established. So that'll be the concern for Parramatta. But in the short term, it's exciting.
Who do you think would suit his – sorry, boys, I've only got a heap of questions. Let me get this one away.
No, you're right.
Who do you think would suit his style more, Corey Norman or Chris Sando? Because three ain't going to go into two, so you would think one of them, if the story is true, and Foran will go to Parramatta, then someone has to go, surely.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm a huge rap on Corey Norman, and I think a big part of the reason Chris Sando's played so well is because of Corey Norman. So that's a headache. It's a nice headache for Brad Arthur to have. You know, I had my question marks on Chris Sando. I wasn't sure that... we were going to get the value out of him that we have, and I saw him in the sheds last week. He looked as good as I've ever seen him, and I mean physically. And I keep saying, you know, he's playing the right game. Brad Arthur's taken away all the organisational concerns for him. He's let other people do that, and now Chris just waits for a retreating defence or a bit of space to work in, and he just does what he does so well. How you fit Kieran in around that with Corey, I'm not quite sure. I read in the paper today, maybe Norman back to fullback and Will Hopewade into the centres. I don't know. It's
a nice luxury, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. As long as, you know, I like Norman at 5'8". I know he's played fullback before, but I still think he's a better 5'8". And I still think with Jared Hayne moving on that this was always going to be the making of Will Hopewade at fullback, because I think that's his best position also. I had a nice introduction to it last week, a fairly comfortable one, and it'll get a little bit harder for him, but I think that's his best spot. So I'm not sure what they'll do, but there's some talent to work with.
What about that, Pete, last year? That, you know, they had a great start to the season, and one man that hasn't had a lot of mentions this year, but I think is just a critical part of their team, is Nathan Peets, that hooker. He's just such a competitor. He goes about his business. He allows those guys, the Normans and the Sandows and the Hopewades, to do what they need to do. You got a rap on him?
Very much so. And I think, you know, the fact that he was spoken about in Origin terms last year shows just what a season that he was having for Parramatta before he got injured. And I thought they went out and covered it quite well, because I think I like Isaac De Goyce too. I think he's a really tough player, and he came in and did a fantastic job. The great thing about Nathan Peets is he's so important to them defensively. He's the first point of contact, and so often it's really good contact, and he leads the way there as well. His dummy half plays great. Nathan Peets being back is only a bonus. And if you don't have a good dummy half in this competition, you really struggle.
He's it's funny, I think, mate, was he? Like, he did his knee and he missed a bit of footy. I think Brad Arthur said that he knocked on the door and said, mate, why aren't I playing 80 minutes? Hey, hold on, mate, you've just come off injury. You know, mate, like, we're winning the game. You've got to put those guys in cotton wool when you can.
At the beginning of the season, I sat down with Brad before a ball was kicked, and the only concern he had was it if they lost Nathan Peets during the course of the season. At that stage, he realised... They were even speaking of maybe bringing Lance Hahia across from the English Super League, which wouldn't have been for a whole lot of money, and he was sort of on the outer a little bit over with his club there, that, you know, he might come and cover that, which it obviously didn't eventuate, and that's why Isaac De Goyce was secured later on in the season. But, he's a really important... I've just got to stop calling him Geordie in commentary.
Geordie Peets.
Yeah. Still, are they far off having a team to win... to win a premiership, do you think? Are there many pieces missing?
Who comes up with these plans to publish in newspapers the seven-year plan, and we're going to win three premierships and we're going to do this? I don't get that. I don't know if that's who that's for.
It's for supporters, though, isn't it? I mean, they do it so the supporters will give them hope.
It can set yourself up for disappointment. And but
a lot of those plans, aren't they, Reedy? Let's be honest. A lot of those long-term plans. Now, Penrith have done it beautifully, so they're exempt from this conversation. But they're to get their fans ready for short-term pain. Hey, we're going to be rubbish for a couple of years, but hey, our plan is to be really good.
Well, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, the Bulldogs brought one out. You wouldn't have said they've been rubbish.
Absolutely
you
know,
they
not.
They wanted to win a couple of titles by, 2020 or something.
No, it's not exclusive that, that's always the case, but often a club uses that to justify being terrible for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why you come out and do it, but because all you do is you know, draw attention to yourself and put pressure on yourself. And in answer to your question, Parramatta are going the right way. Don't forget, you don't win wooden spoons, but they had two wooden spoons not that long ago. It's not easy to get up the other end of it in a short period of time, but they're doing their very best to do so. And you know, they cost themselves a finals berth last year. I think they will play finals this year, and that means they're heading in the right direction.
This is NRL prime time for Harvey Norman. Before you go, Sterlo, question for the room, yes?
Especially when we get Brett Stewart next week.
Question for the room. Junior Paulo, 9 weeks. What did you think, Gerds?
Look, you know, there was no malice in it. There was no... I didn't think there was...
He got 2 weeks longer than Jordan McLean for his Alex McKinnon tackle.
It looked really bad. I mean, it could have ended really pretty badly for Matty Ballon, but some of these guys are that big and that strong that they get the opposing player in these situations. And Gordy will tell you, when forwards get hold of people, they're meant to try and, you know, get them to the ground any way they can. And if that's one way of doing it, that's their rite of passage. But it did look dangerous. I think he does need to spend some time on the sideline, but I do feel sorry for the kid as well.
Yeah, like, and they keep on talking about loading. I actually wouldn't have suspended him. A photo that I saw in the Courier Mail, look, when he flung him, he sort of threw him and he went like a helicopter. He didn't lift him horizontal, and because of his strength, and he landed. And there's a photo of Matt Ballon with his elbow, his forearm on the ground. So that's the first bit of contact, was his forearm. And then he was... So if we want these halfbacks to have all the stepping and all that, when you come into the big guys, that's what they bring to the game. And if he's not big and aggressive, he doesn't play. And we bang and go, oh, geez, the big blokes are soft. But then when they are strong and they play the way their coaches want them to play, then they spend time on the time on the bench.
I understand the loading cost him dearly, but I was shocked. Yeah, shocked. When the downgrade wasn't successful. I just thought that would happen and he would have less weeks. So if he gets 9 for that, then you know, there's a Gordon Tallis tackle on Brett Hodgson that gets 18 weeks. You know,
I mean, loading and carryovers killed him, though. Yeah. I mean, he might have got away with 3 weeks.
It would have been, if he was a clean skin, 3 to 4,
which I think would have been a fitting suspension for that tackle.
If he'd have got a downgrade, what would he have got then?
7, I think. No, it was less than 7.
It would have been less
7
than...
with an early guilty plea, so it would have been around 5.
It would have been
something
down to 4 or 5, which... You could cop 9.
But the league said last year we're clamping down on dangerous throws and dangerous tackles.
That was a dangerous tackle. I mean, that was shades of Tony Williams on, was it Isaac de Goyce all those years ago?
Don't tell me, tell Gordy. He's the one that said it should have been suspended.
I know you're saying he landed on his forearm, Gordy, but his head still went into the ground. That was an awkward tackle. That could have been really dangerous.
Yeah, that's just momentum. Okay, he didn't pick him up and he didn't drive him into the ground. That's poor. And if it does, that's 9 weeks. If you're strong and that bloke can't hold his head up, and do all that, mate. They spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in the gym. Hold yourself up, brace. Okay? It's like taking a weapon away from a Benny Bubba. Benny, stop stepping. You only had to step me 3 times this game and don't hit. When you get the big blokes, that's what they bring to your team. And when it happens and it goes a bit off, mate, I watched that Moses, coat hanger guy. That would have been sent off in my game. It's not. So when little guys do, it's not. But if a big guy does it, he's off the field.
You know, you're 100% right. If Jared Aurea Hargreaves did perform that exact tackle,
100%.
He would have been straight off.
Because he's got about 200% loading, though, Dan, as well. So he's got 10 weeks, Jared.
No, because they think that the big blokes mean it. And it's, you know, and I'm just letting you know that tackle, right, and we get asked to go out there, and it's a thin red line that we get to, and sometimes we step over it, and we get punished, and you get all these guys that come with skill. Mate, I couldn't play with Darren Lockyer's skill. I had to play with brute force, and when you use it, right, then you spend time on the bench, and I don't think that tackle was that bad.
Can I leave soon? Gordy's starting to throw arms around. He's starting to demonstrate, and that's getting dangerous.
All right, we'll let you go. You've got Channel 9 commitments. Who's going to win this one, Sharks or Broncos?
I have no idea, Dan, but I think Broncos. Because Sharks threw away win last week. They had Canberra's measure and then some really poor mistakes. And I think Brisbane, possibly.
All right. We'll see you. When will we see you? Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football. We'll be at Campbelltown. We'll be at Sizzler. And then we'll be at Campbelltown Stadium.
Thank you, Sterling.
Hey, Dan. The pizza's here. The boys have kindly brought up some pizzas for the team.
Well, if Gordon here was a professional, instead of going to reach for the pizza, he'd tell us who they came from because he was the man that organised this. We'll do that shortly.
Hey, just quickly on Kieran Foran, Dan. It's my understanding he wants to play with Chris Sando. He's told the club that if he's there, he's keen to play with Chris Sando. And the second thing, that figure, that 4.7 figure, that doesn't take into account the salary cap rising in 2018, which it will do under the new television deal. And there'll be kickers in that contract, so it could be way beyond $4.7 million.
Do you think 4.7 is accurate?
Yeah, I think it's 4.8, actually.
Wow. Okay.